my second video of this educational series by Global Business Research. I am Dr. Gunter Weitinger, Senior Vice President of Manufacturing and Head of Factory Digitalization at Siemens AG. Again, on behalf of my friends at Global Business Research, GBR, I would like to thank you for joining in on this pre-recorded webinar. This time, I will go through some exemplary use cases of Lean Digital Factory approach. If you remember, I have presented this the last time, especially in the field of predictive analytics and edge technology. If you have any questions, there will be contact details at the end where you can send the questions to me directly in. Yeah, so let's start. For the ones who not yet have seen the first video, some general introduction. Our core program, Lean Digital Factory, is embedded in our framework of core programs, production and logistics excellence, in which we address all aspects of a role model factory from lean philosophy, employee engagement, plant network design, supply chain design, and supplier collaboration. The benefits we expect from this approach you see on the right side. These are synergies, balanced workforce capacity, speed learning, and an optimized supply base. And these four elements are the main driver for productivity for a plant network and, of course, for a plant itself. When we are talking about a plant network, we are talking about a footprint of more than 30 factories. And of course, all these factories, all these plants are sharing one mission. The mission on the left side is be the role model for excellence in production and logistics to provide proven value add for our customers and business units based on the methods of digital enterprise and lean industrial engineering. So the lean philosophy are always the prerequisites for digitalization and automation for us. When we are talking about challenges, of course, then these challenges are most similar to the challenges all factories are facing. We want to shorten time to market, increase flexibility, improve quality, and boost efficiency. Of course, we have to increase or assure our security. We want to have inclusive sustainability. And that's maybe a little bit more special for us. We are continuously evaluating new business models, which are coming by solving all the challenges from our factories. So what we are doing for our own factories, of course, we would like to offer to our customers also. We started this journey about 2016, and since then our factories are known internationally as digital lighthouses. The Amberg factory just recently became the World Economic Forum lighthouse, but also our Chengdu factory has this. Other factories have the Smart Factory Award. But what are typical for our factories is that they are facing challenges like 60,000 customers to serve 60,000 customers. One product per second leaves our factories, and of course we are doing this on the highest quality standards. We have a Six Sigma organization in place, and our factories, our at least our lighthouse factories are horizontal and vertical, have a full horizontal and vertical data integration. And the building, what you see here, is our new digitalization center. And there is where I'm right now. So you have an impression now in the back. So I'm sitting here in this beautiful building. And we opened this building just a few weeks ago. The question is always, why did we start this program? The reason that we started the program Lean Digital Factory was to strengthen the focus further on automation and digitalization and shop floor productivity from data and analytics. And this picture demonstrates that with increasing lean maturity, the amount of productivity projects at the shop floor increased dramatically to maintain the productivity level we expected, or at least we set for ourselves as a goal, and that was above 5%. We already see now that more than 25% of our productivity measures are covered already by this initiative. And our lighthouse factories are between 5% and 7% productivity. So this program has already paid out. And here in the upper area of the slide, you see a little bit of a kind of a maturity roadmap. It's not always this clear, of course, but at least it gives you a kind of an orientation. So classical and productivity measures of lean production and lean administration are followed by flexible automation, by robots, then by digitalization, and then by IoT and AI. So today we will talk about predictive analytics. And what is so typical about predictive analytics? We have learned that predictive analytics, to do successful predictive analytics projects, it requires both domain and scientific know-how. You have to bring both together to assure a successful project. Advanced data analytics is a key enabler for us to optimize our processes. And I think this picture is very well known. When you are starting this journey, first of all, you're asking yourself, hey, what has happened? So you already are in descriptive analytics. That normally you have done or you're doing already very intensively, especially the lean guys. Then the next question is, why did it happen? Here still, the lean guys will say, clear, it's root cause analytics. Yeah, and this is then diagnostic analytics. And now from there, it began data analytics. So what will happen? So predictive analytics. And then even how can we make something happen? So can we influence that what will happen? Can we make it even not happen? Or can we heal that what happened? So then it's prescriptive analytics. And the benefits are increasing exponential. See you on the left side to the value. And so the question is how we are going into these projects, how we are starting them. Like I said, it is important that you bring together the domain know-how together with the data analysts. So you have to make sure to include your process domain know-how when you start this. Normally start with an hypothesis. What would you like to gain out of it? What is the problem you want to tackle? So the domain know-how guy will tell you, I guess I need these data to address this problem or to make an decision about something. I need these data. So he gives his opportunity, his opinion, his know-how to the data scientist, and they both together try to understand if we have enough data, do we have the right data, and do we have the data in the format we need to solve the problem we want to solve. So you go into a data preparation and then in the modeling, and then if there is a model, an algorithm, the data scientists will identify, then he evaluates it together again with the domain know-how people. And if the result is confirmed by the domain know-how specialists, then they go into a deployment together. And then, of course, you have a deeper business process understanding, and then you can start again from the beginning. PDCA. So, what are the hot topics for us in advanced data analytics, especially in the environment of manufacturing? So, what we see from our side, there is the quality area, how to improve quality level while reducing test effort. There is the machine utilization, predictive maintenance area, process stabilization, and supplier collaboration. So let's look into quality improvement. How to improve quality level while reducing test effort. It's a kind of a contradiction. Normally you want to maintain the quality, so why should you reduce test effort? The idea is, or the hypothesis is, with data analytics, with pattern recognition, there might be way to reduce manual test effort or machine test effort and to maintain the quality or even to increase the quality. If the quality depends on the processes, how the products are made, then there should be a pattern who exactly tells you when this product is good or this process was good. So we are turning a little bit around the quality assurance. So we are looking for the good parts, not for the failures. And if you are looking for the good parts and you know they are good due to the process patterns, you don't have to test them. So computer vision is a typical area for this. Let me show you one example. Machine learning-based product testing and quality control. Here you see a surface mount technology. Now I have to move a little bit, but the lights are on. Now you see a surface mount technology line. So we are calling this also printed circuit board production line. And for the one who are not that familiar with this process, I will explain them the process shortly. So you have a printed circuit board. So you put solder paste on it, you print solder paste it in with a stencil printer. Then you have a statistical process control. You just check it with an SPI if the printing was good. Then you assemble all the components into the solder paste. So what you do next, you have an automated optical inspection and maybe then another manual inspection, and then you solder it. You solder it via this reflow oven, and then you have another automated optical inspection. As you see, here I have at least three tests or sometimes four. And if it was not good, you have rework. So the idea here was, due to the fact that humans are used as second quality gates, as I already told you, I show you where this happens, so this can happen here, to secure low pseudo errors of printed soldier pastes, then you want to get rid of this. So you can check with your people here if this tester was good, or you look at this station here if this test was good. So you're looking for pseudo errors. So you're looking for errors that automated optical inspection tells it was wrong, but it was not wrong. It is due to the tester who is simply making a suggestion of something which is maybe an error, and you have to check if it is really an error. So what we want to do here is using machine learning, by a simple way. So the machine, the SPI, identifies outliers, and this set outlier, and we are setting these outliers as defects, and then we generate a new label. And then with reclassification, we then, due to the domain know-how, we reclassify them, and then by this way, this system is continuously learning. So the four steps are: so the data are extracted from the SPI with a label uncertainty. Then you train and test this, and you're clustering the models on data with the uncertainty. And so you see here the picture. So you see data sets outside and inside your specification. You relabel this data based on the reliable recorded measurements to avoid uncertainty. So you use, of course, the know-how of your experts. And then you retrain this model via decision tree. And via this, you have then now a data vision system for the classification of pseudo errors, and you don't need to use an operator here anymore. And this was already successful by 99.91%. Another example, which we could have put in quality inspection or in supplier collaboration, but I put it here on quality inspection, is incoming inspection via a computer tomograph. Why is this so interesting for us? The incoming quality is something who defines the uptime and availability of machines. So it's clear if you have a problematic material on the line, this creates maybe unplanned downtime or rework. So you would like to know if the material you get from your suppliers are meeting the specifications. You can do this in a traditional way. You measure the respective points by a quality specification, which is normally very labor intense and sometimes not very reliable, because maybe you are measuring something where not the problem is, or you just have a 3D image and you overlay this with a reference model. For this, I have a video and I would like to show this video to you how we do this. Thank you. watching. So coming to the next hot topic or area, which is machine utilization. Here the question raises how to achieve a one-piece flow while maximizing utilization. So you can imagine the distance here. So you would like to have a maximum utilization of your machine, but on the other hand, you have the challenge that the variances or the lot sizes are getting smaller. So this means you have to find the right sequence of products, the right lot sizes, and you have to change over really fast. And this is not an easy task. We do this with a digital value stream analysis while using the edge technology, collecting all the data from the production line and using them for making these analyses I just mentioned. Due to the fact that I have shown this in the last video, I would like to recommend to the people who don't know this that they watch the other video and they see here how we do this and what is the potential for having a value stream analyzer, digital and dynamic. So every time you have a changeover, you can immediately look what is the throughput time by each workstation compared to other variants. And by doing this on this granular, on this detail level, you can optimize, as I said, the sequence, the lot size, and the changeover from one product to the other. Bringing this even to another level, for us, the inclusive sustainability is very important. Now having such a detailed level on the shop floor while using our production equipment, we are now also are able to measure our carbon footprint on product and variance level. So this gives us the opportunity to really know how much CO2 emission our products have in the backpack. And this will be very important in the future, you will see. Coming to the next topic, predictive maintenance. Very famous. Here it is very simple. How to increase uptime while minimizing the maintenance cost. You would like your equipment running up and running. What you don't want is unplanned downtime, because then operators are waiting on the line, or simply you are not able to deliver and to produce the products your customer is desperately waiting for. So you need to plan your downtimes to make your maintenance in a planned and systematic way. So predictive maintenance comes prescriptive maintenance, and this is the journey we are going to. The milling is a very interesting use case. So aggressive milling dust is always crawling up our cutting machines while we are cutting the PCBs out of these out of a greater PCB, which is so as you see here, we have to cut them so that they are that we are able to assemble them into our PLCs. And while doing this, of course, a dust is generated, and this dust is very aggressive. And the reason this was the reason that our spindle are having breakdowns between 1, 2 and up to 6 months after we were using them, independent of how high volume we are producing on this production line. So what we did is we are looking now and observing the speed and the current of the motor of the spindle, and also looking for anomalies. So this combination, always observing the speed and the current and with some anomalies, gave us the possibility to identify a pattern which allows us at least 2 days in advance to predict a downtime. And how it is seen here, this reduced 100% of our failures, and it saved us already €120,000 per year. And we rolled this out to 18 spindle machines, also in other factories already. Another use case is process stabilization. How to stabilize processes by lowering control effort? One example we did with a customer together is on our packing machines. So our packing machines are using vacuum grippers, and they are folding and holding packages made out of paper and carton. And the regular contamination of the vacuum system, due to sometimes a heavy dust of the cutting process of these cartons, of these packages, lead to, again, unplanned downtime. And what we did is here, we installed a system to have an online monitoring and observation of these vacuum grippers. Together with our customer, in cooperation with Schmalz, we implemented a condition monitoring in these machines with our human-machine interfaces, and we get a notification, send it out to our maintenance people when this when the grippers has to be cleaned. So this was possible by observing these filters. And this is also a scalable plug-and-play connectivity, and it helped us that we are not anymore losing any utilization due to downtime. And the process, of course, is now much more stable. Now coming to the last field of areas of advanced data analytics is supplier collaboration. How to improve collaboration while reducing communication? So, or let's say information exchange. So in our industry, it's typical that you have tools, molding tools, at suppliers, but they are your own, and normally they are serving several plants. So you need to have a monitoring in place to see how much this tool was used for reinvestment information, for maintenance, for rework information, for planning your investments, and also to see how much products were produced on this tool in regards how much products you have received. You can see also then if there is a quality problem at your supplier. In the past, every plant by itself has managed an Excel sheet and sent it to the supplier or exchanged it with the central coordinator. So there was a lot of data information out there. It had to be combined and updated and aligned. So you can imagine this was manual work, and very often the status was not actual. So you were surprised by investment. So what we did is, We connected our tools simply to our MindSphere cloud, together with sensors, with dynamic tool data, and we are exchanging now our demands from the different plants via our MindSphere cloud with the supplier and have an online monitoring system in place, which shows us how was the utilization over the last time, how many parts shipped out and how many parts were good at each plant. And it's simple, effective, and it is very low labor intensive. So for both sides, for the supplier and for us. So we have also created a benefit for our supplier. So this is also an important topic you have to look at, if there is something in for the supplier also, the acceptance of such systems is automatically given. Thank you for turning in and giving back to my colleagues of GBR. And if there are any questions, please send us in your questions. See you next time. Bye bye. And maybe with a last look on the digital center, which we are very proud of. Thank you. See you.